Traveling? Are you shopping? Well, the FBI has a new warning out about charging stations. Get this, half of all U.S. office buildings are half empty, and what that means to banks and others. Yet again, Tesla has lowered the price of some of their vehicles. We'll tell you about that. A key report on inflation is coming this week. What might we expect? A 74-year-old sneaker chain is filing for bankruptcy protection, plus some concern for Tupperware, the company that's based in Florida. We'll share that story. We've got the Wall Street Report and our kitchens coming back to Whole Foods. Let's go.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome back to Insight on Business, the news headlines for this Monday. It is the 10th day of April, 2023. Grateful to be with you again. We did take last Thursday and Friday off for the holiday, and we were on News Talk 1540 KXEL yesterday, but this is the first time back with you in several days, and it's great to be here. You want to follow us on Twitter? We are there. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, if you're low on cell phone or tablet or laptop juice, don't, says the FBI, use any public charging station because bad actors have figured out a way to introduce malware and monitoring software onto your device. The term for all this is called juice jacking. Like we didn't have enough to worry about, right? The warning goes on to say that you should always carry your own charger and USB cord and use an electrical outlet. While this is the first time the FBI has weighed in on this issue, the Federal Communications Commission had a similar warning going way back to 2021. A new report is telling us that nearly half of U.S. office buildings are sitting half empty. Wow. And that is a looming problem for not only financial institutions, but also the small businesses that grew because of office workers. CNN is reporting that while not yet a negative driver of the economy, it could become that very quickly. In the worst-case scenario, anxiety about bank lending to commercial real estate could spiral, prompting customers to yank their deposits. A bank run is what toppled Silicon Valley Bank just last month, roiling financial markets and raising fears of a recession in the U.S. Meanwhile, the value of commercial office space has plummeted. Between 2021 and 2022, the property value of office space has declined by nearly 6%. Retail space has declined by nearly 1%. Conversely, if we look at apartment building property, that has increased by 4.3%, hotel values up by 5.6%, and industrial building values have increased a whopping 12.6% during that same time period between 2021 and 2022. So, what is the danger for banks? Goldman Sachs estimates that 55% of U.S. office loans sit on bank balance sheets. Regional and community banks already under pressure after the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank back in March account for 23% of the total. And with so much office space empty, that means businesses like restaurants and specialty stores do not have the same number of people eating lunch or shopping, which also has a negative economic impact. The future of all this? Two words. Who knows? The S&P 500 gained a bit today, as did the Dow in the final hour of the trade. In the end, markets did close mixed, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. For the fifth time, Tesla has made price cuts to some of their vehicles. On the Tesla website, price cuts between 2 and 6% were noted. The company cut prices on both versions of its Model 3 sedan by $1,000 and on its Model Y crossover by $2,000. It also cut prices on both versions of its more expensive Model S and Model X by $5,000. CNN is reporting that some analysts who expected the further price cuts had flagged concern that Tesla's industry-leading profit margins could be at risk. Tesla reported first-quarter deliveries of almost 423,000 vehicles. That's up just 4% from the prior quarter after price cuts in the United States, China, and other markets were meant to spur demand. Tesla has set a target of 1.8 million deliveries this year, so they got some to go. Tesla has cut the price of its Model 3 by a cumulative 11% since the start of the year, with a 20% reduction on its base Model Y. Coming up later this week, like on Wednesday, we'll get the latest data on the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. Experts are expecting the CPI to come in at 5.2%. That's a slowdown from February's 6% annual gain, according to estimates from Bloomberg. The number would mark the lowest annual increase in consumer prices since May of 2021, but would still be significantly above the Federal Reserve's 2% target. The Fed has been raising interest rates to try to bring down inflation, but the central bank risks sending the economy into a recession by hiking rates too fast. And then on a monthly basis, consumer prices are expected to have risen 0.2% in March, down by 0.4% increase back in February. We will know for sure about all of this data on Wednesday morning. Well, the shoe business is taking another hit. We recently learned that the 74-year-old company that began as Eileen's Shoes, a family-owned business that has remained family-owned, has filed for bankruptcy protection. Eileen's Shoes rebranded the company to Shoe City back in 1980. After years of business, the Baltimore-based shoe chain found itself struggling to get the same level of sneaker releases and high-end products which are necessary for the shoe retail business. The company started to fall into debt without the right and hottest shoes to sell. Shoe City filed for Chapter 11 protection on March 31 in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Maryland. The vendor credit list of shoe brands affected by the bankruptcy is a list of some pretty high-end shoes, with debts of over $1 million to some. The popular shoe chain has outstanding debts that will leave the shoe companies themselves holding the bill. Shoe brands owned debt include New Balance at $1.6 million, Timberland at $1.4 million, Puma $1.3 million, and Nike at $665,000. Shoe City will liquidate its assets to generate income from the shoe inventory to pay its creditors. That is the quickest way to end the company's operations, according to Gordon Brothers, who's facilitating the liquidation. The shoes and apparel are going to be priced at 30% off to start to move inventory out the door. So much for shoes, right? Well, there's another story in other retail news. We are now hearing that the 77-year-old company that is known as Tupperware is also struggling. The Orlando Sentinel is reporting that the company has said it might not have enough cash to survive in the near term if it isn't able to amend its credit agreements or get enough capital. Tupperware is bringing on financial advisors with the goal of raising more money. Back in 2019, Tupperware said it employed about 300 people at its headquarters in Central Florida, but in February of 2020, a statement said that that number had fallen to about 250 people. A Tupperware spokeswoman declined to comment on the story. Wall Street ended the day mixed, and as a side note, the information about Tupperware had a negative impact on that company's stock. Today, at close, Tupperware was at $1.24 a share, plunging nearly 50% from $2.42 a share just last week. Meanwhile, the Dow closed up by 101 points to end the session at 33,586, while the Nasdaq fell by 3 points to close at 12,084, and the S&P 500 rallied in the final hour to end the session up by 4 points and finish at $41.09. Oil gained 11 cents to end the trade at $79.85 a barrel. And finally, there is this, and this has to do with bringing kitchens back to Whole Foods Market. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that commercial kitchens may be back on the horizon for Whole Foods. The Amazon-owned supermarket previously operated three, but closed them back in 2017 and has worked with outside suppliers to make a majority of its prepared food. Now, Whole Foods is looking to extend its offering of juice bars, sushi, and sheet cakes to help improve and maintain quality. The potential new kitchens come at an opportune time. Grocery store prepared meals have gone up in sales by 30% since 2019. That according to market research firm Circana Group. And that is a wrap on today's business news headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day, at least most days anyway. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.